reading from the Gospel according to Luke. When the time came for the purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, in the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
My wife gave me a gift, and I'll be honest, I was ticked. You know, she told me to close my eyes, and, you know, she's driving. I'm like, can I just have my gift? I told you what I wanted. It's like, make a list, and it's like, you don't get what you want. Anyway, I'm like, I always give you what you want, woman. It's like... So she did a lot of homework too and got this gift and everything. And so we drive up to this place. I say, I know she didn't do this. I know. I'm just fuming mad. I'm so upset that when we walk into the building, the people notice. They say, "You're not happy." I say, "No, I'm not. I don't want to be here." And so they say, "Okay, just, you know, get into the robe and, you know, go back there. We got some drinks and stuff for you. Relax, and when it's your time, we'll give you a call." And so this, I'm like, okay, I'm going to just deal with this, right? Man, this lady comes and get me, Brazilian lady about this big, comes and get me and tells me to lay down on the table, and she starts massaging me, and I swear she was using her elbows and fist and knees and everything else. And I'm like, oh my, this feels good. And I'm going, and then she says, "Do you have any pains?" And I have fell on my shoulder at Poly, Long Beach Poly, chasing Al in the parking lot and Al. And, you know, we're horsing around at one of his football games, and I fell on my shoulder and hurt my shoulder. And I told her about that, and she said, "Okay." And I'm like, "Ooh, ooh." And all of a sudden, I heard this doop, and the pain went away. And I have full mobility and everything still today. And so that was the beginning of it. Then they did this hour. That was for an hour. Then they did this hour facial. Then they did this hour-long thing, you know, relaxing. I'm like, dude, I do not believe. This is the bomb. And she's like looking at me, laughing at me. just laughing, the big old cheesy smile she always has. And she said, uh-huh. And I'm like, yeah. And the ladies are laughing. I said, you know what? This is the best kept secret, and it's not a secret anymore, because I'm telling every guy I know. Every guy I know, when your lady take you to the spa, run. If she invites you, don't say no. Say yes. Beat her there. You know, it was amazing. One of the best gifts I've ever got. I didn't want it, but I needed it. And it was exactly what I needed.
She knew
what I needed.
Yeah.
And she didn't give me what I want.
Yeah.
She gave me what I needed.
Yep. We mentioned that because as we opened up the gospel, we realized Israel at this time is under Roman occupation. Geopolitically, they're in a horrible place. Rome does not mess around. Rome will put you in your place quickly. The crucifixion was not something that just happened one time. That was Rome's way of checking you, making sure you saw what happens when people oppose Rome. We were talking about in the time when Israel needed a strong leader, a king, to release them of this Roman occupation, man.
That's what they're looking for, right?
That's what they need.
They're like, come deal with our enemy right now. We need deliverance. We need a Moses to make Pharaoh bow down, right? That's they're expecting.
Yeah, and yet God sends this child in a manger, no means, no power, no authority.
Yeah, look where he sends him. Look where he arrives.
Yeah.
He doesn't arrive in the palace. He doesn't arrive in some luxury place.
Yeah.
It's not announced to kings.
Yeah.
You know, the kings and the religious leaders.
Yeah. It's shepherds.
It's shepherds, man. Shepherds and astrologers from Gentile.
Yeah, pagans.
Gentile pagans, as they say.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's
animals.
It's what they needed.
Yeah.
The release of captivity was bigger than Rome.
Yes.
The human condition was bigger than a geopolitical oppression. This went deeper.
Yeah, it went very deeper because you look at the background of the baby Jesus and how he was conceived. My daughter come up to me and says, she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Go find the Holy Spirit.
Hold up, close.
Go find the Holy Spirit. I want to meet him.
Bring him here.
Bring him here.
We're gonna have a Holy Spirit talk.
Yeah. We're going to have an anointing service. But think about it. She is just a child.
Yeah.
She's engaged to be married.
So is Joseph. I mean,
and Joseph.
Talk about being put in a spot.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so all of this controversy going on, and all of this mess.
Yeah.
And God's in the midst of that, right?
Yeah.
And you really think about it. I share with you that Jesus in the margin, that book, how he chose the margins.
Yeah.
So that he can identify with those who are in the margins, those people who are the untouchables, those people who don't have the royalty, don't have the clout, the class, those who are captive, those who are slaves. Those who are politically unacceptable. And that would get to me how the enemy tries to make Christianity this thing about power, and how the Europeans actually made it about this power and twisted Christianity. That's not Christianity. That's not true Christianity.
It's empire.
Exactly. Yeah. It's empire building. And God's not into empire building.
Yeah.
He has no need for it. He's already God, yeah. right?
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things that really brought me to Christianity, when I really started looking at what Christ was all about and who Christ was. I'm like, wait a minute. This is not a European thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a European thing, mm-hmm. or, as we say, a white man's thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is really mm-hmm. something deeper than that.
Broader.
It's way,
if
way
you read,
bigger,
as, you,
way
as we read the gospel, as John read the gospel, you'll notice that it's almost like a pebble in a lake or in a pool of water. What was always Jewish temple, it starts spreading. You know, it spreads with shepherds who are outcast.
Right.
They have no say. They have no word. Their word is worthless. They're just thieves and leftovers. We don't mess. We don't
they
even talk.
They stink.
Yeah.
They smell like sheep. They're rude.
I thought
you
were going to say something else, but then these pagan wise men show up. They're not Jewish. Have nothing with the temple or with the law.
No power.
Simeon, Anna. I mean, Simeon's an old guy ready to die. He has no temple, anything with the temple. All he has is a promise from the Holy Spirit.
Right. That resided upon him. Not in him, but upon him.
Anna, a widow. She's nothing in that society.
She's a woman. Without a husband.
Without a husband, without kids.
A woman without a husband.
This, what Luke is showing us is this gospel is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It's going deeper. There's a deep need in humanity that God has finally broken into, become a human child. And he is rescuing all of creation.
Right.
Right. By becoming the least.
And that is the thing. He's becoming the least. He's humbled himself.
Yeah.
And coming to serve, not to be served.
Yeah.
And that's a message to us. It really is. The way Christ is presented in the manger itself, being born in a barn, it says a lot in itself. And I believe that's why the religious leaders had a very difficult time accepting who he was.
Yeah.
They were so busy, stuck looking at, you know, where he came from, who his daddy is, who his mommy is, and all that stuff. They got stuck on all that instead of seeing what God is doing in him.
Yeah.
We do that as well.
Esther and I were watching Rogue One, the Star Wars movie, because I lost track of what movie goes where, I'll be honest with you. We went to go see the newest Star Wars, and her and I are like, what number is, where does this fit? I'm getting too old for this. And one character in that Rogue One just stuck with me, the blind guy, and I don't want to, if you haven't seen it, come on, it's like 3 years old now. And he kept saying, his mantra was, I am one with the Force, and the Force is with me. That just stuck with me. Because that's what Simeon has, and that's what Anna has.
Yeah.
They have the same mindset. The Spirit of the living God is with me, and I am one with the Spirit. And in that moment, it is the Spirit that brings Simeon into the temple. It is that same Spirit that enlivens Anna, and she finally realizes this child is the long-awaited Messiah.
Yes.
The Christ.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And then Paul tells us today, you have this same Spirit.
Yes.
The Spirit of the Christ that has always existed from the beginning of time, who is co-equal with God.
our New Testament scripture that brings to light that we were at odds with God. Mm-hmm. We were enemies. We were whatever, servants.
Slaves.
You know, I mean, and now we're not servants anymore. We're heirs.
Yeah.
Heirs. We're royalty.
Yeah.
We have been purchased by this Savior.
Yeah.
And, you know, something that's amazing about both those characters, they had nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, they had nothing, but yet they had peace.
Yeah.
Especially Simeon is waiting to die.
Yeah.
He's waiting to die. And when he sees this child, the Spirit of God is giving him peace. You know,
I think that's
how many people you see about to die have peace.
Yeah.
And that's what God provides, that peace. And he said, you know, you have dismissed your servant.
Mm-hmm. For my eyes have seen your salvation, you have prepared in the presence of all people.
Yes. And Anna is so amazed. She just goes praising God
yeah.
and telling everyone she encounters,
yeah.
which is a message to us yeah. again, you know.
You know, we have the Holy Spirit in us. A while ago, somebody asked me, somebody called me a little worried, how do I know I'm going to heaven? You know, how do I know? How do I really know? So I get a couple of those questions, maybe once or twice a year. And I had to remind them, you know, Jesus didn't so much arrive to show us how to get to heaven as much as he did show us how to live.
Brought heaven to earth.
And bring heaven to earth. And what we see in Simeon is this man who is full of peace. Again, Rome didn't change. Rome didn't go away. His circumstances did. He didn't get young. And the Holy Spirit didn't say, hey, I just added 50 years to your life.
Right.
No, Simeon goes and says, now I can rest.
Yes.
I can die.
I
can die in peace.
Right. And that's the message of
Christ. That's the message.
He, in the midst of our troubles, in the midst of our strife, in the midst of our heartaches, in the midst of our illnesses, he's there. He's right there.
Yeah.
And not only is he there, he can identify with it.
Yeah.
He can identify with it because he's from the margins.
Yeah.
We say he's from the hood.
Yeah.
He has lived that life.
He's been
from
broken.
There. It's not a God that's on high, pie in the sky, by and by.
Yeah.
He was in the dirt.
Yeah.
He was in the midst of it.
Yeah.
He was called illegitimate.
Yeah.
He was called, you know, that famous B word.
Yeah.
He was called that. Where is your daddy?
Yeah.
Who's your daddy?
Mm-hmm.
All of that.
Yeah.
And we get so caught up in the ending of the story and the awesomeness of the story, we forget about the small details.
Yeah.
This is our God. This is our God living that life and showing that where you're from doesn't dictate who you are.
Mm-hmm. What's inside is bigger. It's what's inside.
Yes. And we know that the Spirit of God resides on the inside of us.
Yeah.
And because he resides on the inside of us, we're more than conquerors.
Yeah. What Israel was always meant, Israel was designed to be a light to the nations.
Yes.
To be that beacon of hope for the world.
Yes.
And instead, it turned inward.
Yes.
And it started excluding people.
Right.
It started saying, well, you're not good enough to enter. You know.
Because we're.
We have it.
We're the ones.
And I was telling Al, it's interesting how things repeat themselves because the church can easily and has easily become the same way.
Mm-hmm.
The church was created to be the light for the world, the beacon of hope. Announcing and proclaiming that the Christ is here, that God has entered our time and space, that God is at work restoring and making all things right, and yet we exclude. And we exclude the LGBT community. We exclude the poor. We exclude those that are different, those that are our enemies, and we've taken this tribal mentality where we say, if you don't behave like us, if you don't follow our rules, then this isn't for you.
Right.
And that's not gospel.
Yeah, this is gospel. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor.
Yeah.
He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives,
yeah,
and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
Yeah, yeah. And one thing we wanted to make sure you walked away with was this sense of peace. We know North Korea, and we know our country, our leaders. We know there's poverty, and
yes,
there are
hurt,
and there's pain, and
yes,
there's sickness and health and all these things that are like we live in our own Rome here. But like Simeon, we want us to be refocused, that we can live our lives in peace, in joy. We can be full of the Spirit.
Yes.
Just like that blind guy from Star Wars, the Spirit is with you, and you are with the Spirit. This oneness, that's what we're chasing. We're trying to remove anything and everything that keeps us from being one with this living God that desires deeply to connect.
Yes. And to be our Father, to be our provider,
yeah,
to be our healer,
yeah,
to be our comforter.
Yeah.
This is God.
Yeah.
This is God being with us. Emmanuel.
Yeah.
God with us.
Yeah. Fed a song. You're not gonna sing.
Sir?
You're not gonna sing?
No, I'm not gonna sing.
I'm like, is that a song? I'm not singing. We didn't talk about no singing.
I was going to sing.
Nope, that's where you lose me. I'm walking.
I'm too congested.
I'm walking,
so,
man.
I can't sing. Man, our God is the bomb. He is a bomb. And he is a bomb in Gilead.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And so,
yeah,
our word to you is don't sell God short because of circumstances. In this life, we will go through trials and tribulations.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus came to this life and he went through trials and tribulations.
Mm-hmm.
We will go through, but because we're going through, it doesn't mean that God's not with you.
Mm-hmm.
God is forever with you. And he can give you peace in the midst of your trials and your tribulations.
The idea during this time was that God resided at the temple. That if you wanted to connect with God, you left your home and you went. The gospel ends with a new concept. The child grew and became strong. Oh, sorry. When they had finished everything required by the law, they returned to their town. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him.
Yes.
From now on, God doesn't reside in a place or a building. The child took him with him.
Yes.
God's favor went. Brothers and sisters, God goes with you. You don't come here to meet with God. We come here to gather as God's people.
Yes. Amen.
To be encouraged and realigned and refocused, like the way you hone your knives to get it. Anyway, I'll go into a tangent.
Sure.
You should be honing your knives. That's what I want to say. But to be reminded that whatever's out there hasn't taken away what you have.
Amen.
You carry that with you. You don't leave it. You don't lose it. It goes with you. It's always with you.
What can separate you from the love of God? Nothing.
Nothing.
It stays with you.
Yeah.
Forever.
I'm good.
I'm good.
Are you good? Amen. So, do we have the Easter gig or?
Will you invite us again?
Will you invite us again? Would you stand with me as we go into our prayers? And you can follow me on the screen. Any prayer cards that we missed? Before I go, I'll take those. Can you? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I might just read the names, if that's okay with you guys. Follow me on the screen. Nope. Yes. As we join the angels and shepherds and celebrate with joy the birth of Jesus Christ, let us offer prayers to God who shines the light of Christ on all creation, saying, glory and praise to you, O living God. We pray for this church family that by the grace of Christ's coming among us, we may live godly lives marked by love. We pray, glory and praise to you, O living God. May God's Spirit open new pathways of peace and bring new hope to all who live in danger and fear. And for those who live and work in places of trouble and violence, that the Prince of Peace will guide all hearts to strive for peace and justice. We pray. Glory and praise to you, O living God. For all who find this season difficult, for those whose lives are touched by fear, anxiety, or depression, we pray for the sick and the suffering. We pray. Glory and praise to you, O living God. Join me in praying for David as he thanks the Lord for being the center of his heart. Join me in praying for Daniel, for Deborah's friend Daniel, who needs housing. Join me in praying for Deborah, who lost her mother, Louise. May she find peace. Join me in praying with Lillian for Pastor Deborah's family. Pastor Deborah passed away on the 23rd from cancer. Join me in praying for Susan's friend, Steve, for his friend, Sydney, who is in ICU, fighting for her life. We pray for Sydney. Source of light and gladness, accept the prayers we offer this morning. May the rising sun of Christ spread across your world and shine the light of your love on all people. Glory to you, our God, forever and ever. And together we say, amen.